This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thomas ends up with it. John Schneider loving it.
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Like, here's how I think, maybe I'm wrong. I think I could prove this. Here's how you know the Niners were outmanned in this game.
How, Mark?
Okay, what player are you mad at?
On the Niners?
Yep.
I'm mad at Spencer Burford. I just made that up.
I can't ask you.
Yeah, get him, Dibs.
I can't ask you because you're too sarcastic. Like,
Burford on that second down play, your drop step was a little bit sluggish.
If you think that the Niners, quote, like, barfed all over themselves or whatever, then you need to give me the player who barfed on himself, who just, like, totally sucked out there, as opposed to what I think actually most of you think at the core of your being, which was that the Niners, they did not have the people to win that football game. Did they have opportunities? Sure. But, like, it has to be perfect. You have to fall on every fumble. You can't drop any balls. You have to, right, every opportunity has to go your way. And that's rare. That's rare. I mean, it's been more often than not this season, those things have fallen the Niners' way.
Yeah.
But that's rare that you're going to nail them all. Sure, McCaffrey bobbled a ball. We can do that. But outside of that, who's the guy who you're like, boy, you really gagged this one away? I can't think of anyone.
I can think of one.
Who?
You know who.
Who, Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy.
What'd he do?
Brock Purdy. He didn't find open receivers. The few times he had opportunities,
Brock
he didn't
Purdy.
Get the job done.
What opportunity? What do you even mean by that?
On the fourth and one play,
yeah.
When he got blitzed.
Was someone open?
George Kittle was open. Yeah, and I'll show you the play during the break. I mean, he wasn't like wide open. You had time, but.
Yeah, did he have time to throw it to him?
He had enough time to where he could see it and just, you know, flip it out there.
Okay.
Awareness.
Okay.
And, you know, the one that we all blame McCaffrey for,
yeah.
The juggle bobble. I mean, another one of your passes gets tipped, Brock.
Okay. Can we do the tip pass for just a second?
Sure, we can. Because it happens to your guy a lot, Your Honor, President of Brockistan.
How many balls got batted from Darnold?
I'd have to look.
There's at least three, and the Niner defensive line is non-existent. But anyway, here's my point about the tip ball.
Let's hear it.
And I'm glad that Christian said what he said about this one.
Well, he's defending your guy because he's the vice president of Brockistan, possibly.
He and I are a good, we're a good battery.
Good
it's a play that I have to make, absolutely have to make. Expect nothing less but to make that play, and it's completely on me.
Okay. He's right. And that's not like it's okay. Like sometimes you don't catch the ball, but my point is on the tip ball thing, we're making it sound like the DB tipped it. I hear a lot of people go, "Well, the ball changed direction." Right, you're 15 yards away. You have time to readjust to something where the ball got tipped a little bit. right? Like if I'm 15 yards from you and something redirects, but it's still heading right at me, it's not like, well, I didn't have time to figure it out. It's like, yes, you did.
There's a flutter.
There's the flutter factor. Right, but like you're 15 yards away, so you can see that. And he's got, the ball still lands literally in his lap.
A little behind him.
I mean,
yes.
He's got two hands on the ball.
He's
got
to catch it.
So like that's just a flat out, the guy bobbled the ball. It's okay. It happens.
It's not okay.
It happens.
It does happen, but it's not okay. It's not okay when you're in the red zone for the first time all night, and you actually might get a chance for the announcer who's coming back off of leukemia,
yep.
And all he wants to do is scream, touchdown San Francisco.
It didn't happen.
And,
yeah.
It didn't happen. Field goal!
I guess
that's his call, but... Poor guy, and I love him. Shout out Greg Papa.
San Fran, field goal.
Thank you.
Like, I just, here's what I mean by it's okay. It's not okay, but like, what are we going to do? We're going to get mad at Christian McCaffrey now? Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly
what
you mean.
It's kind of like if Steph Curry misses a three, we're like, well, this choke job.
It's like when my three-year-old has an accident in her crib, in her big girl bed, am I going to put her up for adoption? No. Accidents happen, and you get a new sheet,
yeah,
and
like,
you move on.
Not,
I get that,
you're,
Mark.
You're not here without that guy. You're nowhere near here without that guy.
I'm not here without that girl.
So, like, he messed one up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Okay.
On to the next.
Yeah, you get that. This is a bummer time to have it happen, and it's happened in very, very big moments a couple of times the last few years. Got fumbled in the Super Bowl.
No doubt.
So, okay. You know what I mean? Like For me,
that was not a make or break play. Like, we all talk about that play in the Super Bowl where... Was it Burford who went the wrong way?
Yeah.
And I'm picking on Burford too much in this segment. I don't
Feliz
even know
Nato,
Spencer.
Tomorrow at 5.
Shut up! But he goes the wrong way, and a sure touchdown is not a sure touchdown. And so even if you want to look at that one play as the play that cost him the game, and everyone wants to talk about Kwaski Tart against the Rams in the NFC Championship game, well, there was another 167 plays in that game that you could have made or did make. So... too often we drill down on one thing too much in football. That one Saturday, though, was like, oh, man, they're finally, like you said, they're finally humming. Like, boom, Kittle and Juwan and a little bit of McCaffrey and march. This is what we're used to. Oh, God.
And then it just stopped.
Bobble game.
Derek is in Chicago and wants to weigh in. Derek, thank you for calling. Willard and Dibs, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're going good. We're doing great, Derek. What's good? What's on your mind?
Okay, you asked me the question. I'm going to answer it. What's the thing that's been frustrating me? It's been Kyle the whole time. I've been watching him for 9 years. Kyle continually does the same exact thing. When he gets shut down, I mean, I'm talking about the Christmas Day game. I'm talking about the game that Jim Schwartz has beat him. I'm talking about the game on Saturday. When our team gets out there on offense, you got four defensive linemen up front, and you have seven men within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage every time. How do you defeat that? You get two wide receivers, and you have them run go routes every single play. You got to get these guys off of the line of scrimmage. You got to get them outside of 10 yards in order to clear space for people to run. When Pearsall went out, I knew that we had no chance of winning that game because he was the only guy that could get open. He was the only guy that could stretch the field like he did in game one. Shanahan continually does things. He tries to do it on his terms, his way. And if he doesn't have the horses in the stable, he's not doing it at all.
Well, so he's like, I guess I got a question for you, Derek. If the second that, and I'm not trying to pin you here, but I want to use your words here and I want to understand. If the second you knew Pearsall was out, you knew they had no chance. What is it you'd like Kyle to do? Like, what does a quarterback need? Hold on, Derek. What does a quarterback need in order to complete a go route? What does that quarterback need?
Okay. I'm glad you asked me the question.
Yeah.
Because first of all, if Pearsall doesn't, if there's a possibility that he doesn't have a chance to play, I'm going to be trying to get Watkins, and I'm going to be trying to get Cowan available. Now, here's the deal.
These guys have never played before, Derek.
I may not. Me running go route does not mean I'm going to throw it to these other guys. All I'm trying to do, guys, is clear space. I need these DBs off of me. I need to clear space for Kittle. I need to clear space for Juwan. That was the issue. Kyle continually does the same thing. He does not allow people to give him space, his receiver. Why? He doesn't want to play him.
Derek, thanks. To me, that particular angle is a tough one because, Dibs, you mouthed the answer that I was looking for there, which is time. Yeah, you need time in order to conduct all of these plays, Derek, that you're suggesting. Derek, you're not wrong with the type of plays that would work, but they don't work if you don't have time.
And they don't do go routes. This offense, they don't do the go route occasionally.
And like, this is more of a general comment. I love when things don't go well for a team and we immediately want to pluck people who never play and we go, that would have been the answer.
Jordan Watkins has played, Mark, 25 snaps this year.
Like, so that we would have beat Seattle if Jacob Cowing is a ghost this year. I don't even know where he is.
He has not played a snap on offense or defense or special teams.
Right. So
the other one's Isaac Garendo, who's played about 40% of the time on special, but never on offense.
Like, to say that, and you're allowed to, but to say that would be no different than saying, you know what the Warriors, what would really get them on a winning streak?
Not LJ Cryer.
Not Steph Curry, Seth Curry. We need the other Curry to do 38 minutes a night, and the Warriors will win. Like, that's not... I hope Jordan Watkins is a good player someday.
Yeah.
They were high on him in camp. He got hurt. I do know that learning this offense for wide receivers is really hard. Every wide receiver has always said that.
And you have to block. So if you don't block, you don't get the rock.
I'm not very good, Dr. Seuss.
Thank you.
I don't know why someone would think that is what would unlock everything. They need time.
And you've got Sky Moore, who's actually kind of the go-routiest guy that you have, but you don't run a lot of go-routes on this team. And in order to do that, you have to have time. So if you want to go ahead and, I don't know, max protect, which would mean you have seven blockers and you've got Brock, so now you've got three people in the route and they're going to have seven guys covering, you're not going to catch them off guard. And oh my God, they're going to go max protect, and here goes Sky Moore down the field. We'll go ahead and just let him go. This offense doesn't do that, and this defense that you faced, they were damn near flawless, where you caught it, they tackled, you had a contested throw, they came up and hit you and broke you up, and other than that, they got after your quarterback with four all night.
I mean, I want to pass something along from someone who means a lot to me and is also listening right now. My father-in-law, Lincoln Morita, apparently is listening to us, and we were talking after breakfast this morning, and he and I see very, very eye-to-eye on this, but I know today is not a day for this kind of an opinion. Maybe later in the week we'll get to it, but like, when you look at a performance like that on Saturday, I find it hard to divorce myself from what we were all thinking halfway through the year. And even before this game, everybody said, man, it'd be amazing with all of this if they could just make the playoffs. It would be incredible if they could just make the playoffs. And I looked at the schedule, and the Niners play the Eagles this weekend. And it doesn't feel incredible. It doesn't feel incredible to a lot of you because we've arrived at this spot where, like, sort of an unfair carrot got dangled in front of our face. That's the way I look at it. The one seed was dangled in front of our face. The Niners are not the one seed. They're not. Look at them.
No.
Look at them. And they could have been,
but that would have been a true miracle.
They're allowed to be, but they don't have the horses to do that, and Jordan Watkins wouldn't have changed it.
No.
So I don't want that to sound like an excuse. It's not. It's actually just more of a reality check.
Right.
It's incredible that they lost for the first time in 2 months Saturday. That's unbelievable.
It's really believable when you think about who they beat, but to expect them to then come out and beat Seattle. You lose to the Rams on November 9th, and the Rams motorboated you, and you were down 21-0, and that game was never close. Then you beat Arizona. They're terrible. You beat Carolina at home. They're a team with a losing record. I know they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
You beat Cleveland, and Cleveland had a rookie QB making his first ever start, and you know that was the end of a long road before the bye. You beat Tennessee. They're terrible. You beat a grandfather in Indy. You beat Chicago, very impressive win against a good team, and it took every last ounce of everything to do that. Seriously. And then Seattle, who now is the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl, they came in and they beat you. So between the Ram loss and the Seattle loss, you were 6-0. So is it unbelievable? No, but it's impressive. Like, there could have easily been a hiccup against Cleveland. I thought there would be.
Yeah, they're
in a tough spot.
Most teams have hiccups. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
There's no hiccups.
Yeah, I know.
On the schedule.
That's really good.
You lost to Jacksonville, a playoff team. You lost at Tampa, and I mean, I guess they should be a playoff team. They're not. You lost at Houston. They're really good. You lost to the Rams in Seattle. So four of your five losses are to teams that are still dancing in January like you.
Let's go to Nathan in Hesperia. 888-957-9570. What frustrated you about Saturday night? Nathan, thank you for calling. What's up?
Well, good. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. But you know what to tell me is that, and like a lot of longtime 49ers fans, if you watch professional sports, I wasn't frustrated. When I first saw the game start off, my response was, oh, no. Because in sports, you can tell oftentimes when it's clear one team is already from the very jump is imposing its will on the other team, and you realize we're outmanned, we're outgunned. We're going to need something special or amazing, a turnover or a major thing to try to win this game. So that game, don't forget about the score. That was the old-fashioned, we got a butt whipped by a professionally superior team. And, yeah, you can always go back in a game that you lose and say, man, we could have called it to play here and there or whatever. But Kyle could not have coached that team to win that game. There was just no way. It was just the reality is, like we've been saying, this team has been fighting like hell to get past every win, get every week, you know, undermanned, losing the best players, and – to their credit, as we've said many times, they've gotten every bit of juice out of this orange. But the reality is the orange isn't as good as their competitors. And so when you have these injuries, you just sooner or later it's going to catch up with you because in many ways the team that wins in the end in playoffs is the team that's healthier. And so for the larger question is for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch is, you know, how far can we go? But really is, how are we going to – somehow close the gap against a team like Seattle in the future, because they got a lot of work to do to get this roster to the point where they can match that kind of talent, even when you've had some losses to your players.
Nathan, I think that's a great – thank you very much. This is a great call. Again, like we're talking earlier about micro and macro frustrations. The micro frustration is that either they didn't or they just never got a chance to try to move Brock Purdy around a little bit, get him out of the pocket, get some pace going with your drives on offense. That we finally saw there in the second half, and it worked, and then only because of the McCaffrey play did that not turn into points. So that was kind of frustrating. The macro frustration is, I do think that the Niners need to look at the idea of, if one of our greats goes down on our lines, our line is over. Like that feels a little bit too flimsy to me. Trent Williams doesn't play, your offensive line is overwhelmed. Nick Bosa gets hurt, and you have the lowest sack total that your team has ever had in the history of its existence. I mean, honestly,
you also lost Mykal Williams.
Yes, but he wasn't crushing it like when he was playing either.
Right, but he's not going to ever be a big sack master, but he's at least a guy who could help you maybe free up other people to be a part of the action as well.
And he's a rookie, so like you're not going to put out all on his shoulders right away. But that's what I would hope for, is that, because for instance, like the Steelers lost TJ Watt for a couple of games. They didn't like just be like, so that's the end of sacks.
Yep.
No more sacks. TJ Watt's out. We'll wait till he's back.
But they also have Hayward, and they've got other guys who are like veteran big boys up front.
Right. But I mean, the Niners have Bryce Huff. That's a veteran pass rusher.
Sure. And they got Keon White, and you've got Sam O, and you've got a bunch of 23 and 24-year-old pups. So
I don't know about you. You know what I kept yelling at the screen on this one? I'm like, when Sam O finally got home for that sack,
yep,
I was like, you guys don't need an invitation. You're allowed to go in there.
You're allowed to.
Get him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's just me fanning out. I get why. They don't have the people they need to rush the passer. It's been evident every week.
Yep. And even when they now have blitzed more than they normally do and normally would like to, like a lot of times when you are blitzing, you're bringing a linebacker late. And I think it was D Winters when he got hurt. He blitzes late, and Sam Darnold kind of sidesteps him.
He whiffed.
But he collapsed in pain. He got hurt on the play.
Either stepped on or whatever
it
was.
So Sam Darnold's like, oh, okay, let me go ahead and amble for five and a first down. So even when you did the right thing and you brought the pressure, you still weren't making the effectual plays that you want to make.
Which is why I think Kyle Shanahan keeps talking about tackling, and it ticks everyone off because people don't want Kyle talking about the defense, because apparently Kyle's not even about the defense. It's only about the offense, and it sounds like he's blaming the defense. I don't think he said great things about the offense either. I mean, we can listen to all this here coming up next.
Yeah,
Kyle's thoughts on the offense, Kyle's thoughts on the defense, and whether or not you accept the explanations. I didn't really hear any finger pointing going on. That's not how I translated it. I thought that was fair. I thought the 49ers, hampered though they are, and linebackers running around I've never heard of, but you have NFL helmets, so therefore, when there's another player in front of you as a defensive player, you're supposed to be able to tackle that person. They didn't do a good job of that.
No, and it was really a stark contrast to me of watching Seattle, and every time they had to roll up and make a tackle, they made the tackle. I can't remember too many missed tackles, and the Niners had a bunch of whiffs, and you mentioned the one before where Jackson Smith and Jigba goes all the way down the sideline for the touchdown, but he actually stepped out of bounds at like the 30-yard line or whatever. But on that play, there was like whiff, 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 whiff.
He stepped out of bounds, but it was way further down the field than I realized. Like when they started, he's running for the end zone, and then they blow the whistle. You're like, okay, thank God.
Yeah.
Like he actually stepped out of bounds. And then they showed the replay, and it was like, step, no, that's in bounds. Step, no, no, he's still in bounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Step, 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 and then he's out of bounds. I go, well, he still got like 16 yards and
something,
a first down out of that. Yeah, they weren't where they needed to be. And they didn't get people on the ground. So that's disappointing. I guess that's the whole thing. It's all understandable.
Completely.
It's frustrating, but it's understandable.
Yeah.
And on both sides of the ball.
Well, and I wonder how people would feel if they would have beaten Chicago and then, actually, no, you lose to Chicago, but you beat Seattle and you still wind up at 12-5.
Right.
And you still wind up as the sixth seed. Would we feel better because you'd be going into the playoffs off a win? Because if we go back to the Chicago game,
wow,
like we felt great about the offense and, oh boy, the defense is trouble. And then the defense was better to me Saturday than the offense. But now you go in with a bad taste because they're coming off a loss.
I got to think about it, though. Like if that had all happened, would Seattle have still been, if the Niners had lost to Chicago but beaten Seattle, would Seattle still be the one seed?
They would. Yeah.
They would?
They have two games on the Niners now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, but you're saying if the Niners had beaten Seattle.
Yeah. So if the Niners had still beaten them, the Seahawks would still be a game ahead.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah. Okay. But that wouldn't have changed the any tiebreaker procedure with the the Rams anything like
for
that.
For me, the greater point is more about taste in mouth.
Yeah.
And like our taste right now is not good because the offense that we all want to hang our hat on, they got 3 points. And the defense, yeah, they held them to 13, but I mean, kind of.
Right. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. So let's take a listen to Kyle's defensive comments, Kyle's offensive comments. Coming up next, we'll reboot kind of the injury news of the day because Kyle did talk about that on a conference call. And your phone calls for the rest of the afternoon continue to be very welcome. Specifically, if you thought the 49ers were outmanned and therefore whatever, or were there specific frustrations out of Saturday night that you'd like to point out and get off your chest. 888-957-9570, the number on Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.